please have a seat. And can I add my warm welcome to Rob's? As he said earlier, my name's Kev. I'm the vicar of the church here. And it's just a total joy for us as a church family to welcome you with us as our guests during our Christmas celebrations and singing in such hearty voice. Great to have you all here. We're going to watch something. It's my favourite Christmas advert of all time, and it's entitled The Long Wait. Sorry, the commercialisation at the end slightly spoils the beautiful moment, doesn't it? It's so cute. I've watched that about 20 times just this week, and it brings a tear. Anyone crying here? I know some of you are crying out there. The Long Wait, and it pretty much sums up the agitated excitement going on in our house at the moment. We've got a five-year-old boy and a three-year-old girl, a bit like on the video. Sadly, our two not quite so keen about the giving of the presents to mum and dad, I fear. But five-year-old Rory, he asked for a nativity scene for his birthday. It was a Playmobil nativity scene. This was in early October, and this was his way of making sure that we had to begin the celebrations early. Basically, he's been decorating the flat by stealth ever since that day. The long wait, the long advent. Well, how about 2,000 years of the long wait? That's what our final reading was describing. Can you still see that final reading in front of you, the one with all the funny names? Generation after generation anticipating the Christmas baby. And sentence one is the executive summary, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew's Gospel, where that's from. I'm holding Matthew's Gospel here. You've got one in the pew in front of you. Would love you to take it away as our gift to you. It's one of the four authorized accounts of Jesus' life and teaching. And that final reading, as well as being a peculiar one for Christmas, you may have thought, is just a peculiar opening chapter, isn't it? For what is an international bestseller. Some books famously grab you by the throat immediately, don't they? So it was the best of times, the worst of times, Tale of Two Cities. It was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13, Orwell's 1984. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ that goes on and on and on, and Vic deserves a medal. Sorry, Vic, we weren't being particularly cruel to make you read that out. Not exactly a page-turner of an introduction. Well, it's a family tree, is what it is. Family trees root us in a heritage. This Christmas, give the gift of family. That's the offer from Ancestry.com for a small fee. And it's kind of interesting, I guess, to discover that someone on your maternal grandmother's side was the secret love child of Henry VIII's court jester. But this roots Jesus in his lineage for much more significant purposes. At the very least, this genealogy tells us that the baby of Bethlehem was a fact of history. Just pop across the road to the British Museum and you'll be able to examine the documentary artifacts of Hezekiah, the deportation, read about Babylon. This list also communicates that he wasn't some novel cult leader who sprang up at random, clearly hotly anticipated. Here is the most elongated drum roll in history. And it just begins to give us a sense of the way that Jesus Christ actually defines human history. Notice that the family tree was divided into these epochs. Abraham to David, David to exile in Babylon, Babylon to Christ. Jesus is not only the beginning of a new era, the long wait, remember. No, the arrival of the Christ was the fulfillment of everything that had gone before. Listen to C.S. Lewis. The birth of Christ is the central event in the history of earth, the very thing that the whole story has been about. Abraham lived 2,000 years BC. We are 2,000 years AD in the other direction. Ever worry about your place in the grand scheme of things. Ever worry if there really is a grand scheme of things? This family tree offers to root you and root me in a bigger story. And more than simply giving us a heritage, this is an offer of hope for every member of every human family, no matter how dysfunctional you might feel you and yours are. So come with me and let's explore just for a few moments humanancestry.com. Sentence one again, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham and David are what you might call the two silverback gorillas of the Old Testament, the big beasts who, along with the Christ, frame this reading. Abraham. All his Christmases came at once when, totally out of the blue, totally undeserved by him, God showed up one day near the beginning of the Bible and said, I've just decided that I'm going to make you great. I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing. In you and your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Wouldn't that be good? All the countries of the world happy and safe, not just the privileged few. I say all Abraham's Christmases came at once. There really wasn't much tangibly to show for it at the time. It was mainly promises he received, a bit like the gift card. You know, you might get one of those. Christmas is great, but it's just a piece of plastic in your wallet. It's what it's good for that's exciting. And it was these promises of global blessedness to Abraham that set off the long wait, the frustrated anticipation of the little boy in the advert. When's this going to happen? It doesn't happen in Genesis or Exodus, and we're flicking through the scriptures like opening the advent windows, but it still isn't time. That first paragraph tells us there's lots of fathers, lots of fathering and interesting baby names. I don't know which one stood out to you. Salmon is my favourite. Love a bit of salmon, especially at Christmas. Lashings of mayonnaise. But anyway, don't let me get distracted, because David is where we're heading here. Sentence six. Jesse, the father of David, the king, is at the centre of this page, because in the king, the promises to Abraham are sharpened. A bit like a maglite torch. Maybe you get one of those in your stocking. You know the ones where you can vary the beam? So full beam, well, that's the promises of global blessing. But more precisely spotlighted, David is a picture of blessing coming through the particular leadership of a king. Is that surprising? Happy Christmas. Have a king. And if you pulled away all the tissue and wrapping and Prince Charles jumps out of the box. Ta-da! I mean, partly that would just be very weird, wouldn't it? But a blessing. Leaders are more of a burden in our lives, aren't they? Or at best, a source of mockery. I wonder if you're pinning your deep hopes on anyone who might get elected tomorrow. And yet, even those of us who feel our trust in leadership has been eroded the most, we crave direction, don't we? Will somebody please get us out of our mess? The Old Testament readings that we had earlier in the service, they begin to describe the promised one who would come in David's royal line. On the throne of David, we heard, he shall shepherd his flock in the majesty of the name of the Lord. They shall dwell secure to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Wouldn't that be good? No more hung parliaments or Russian interference or impeachment processes, because you would never want to impeach the divine prince of global peace and justice. And yet the long wait continues as we trace what is now a royal dynasty Sadly, the kings get worse, I'm afraid. Dysfunction abounds in this family tree. And in some ways, that's just families. Apparently, they say the average family will have at least 5 arguments on Christmas Day, with some of the chief causes being Brexit, board games, and batteries. Why did you not buy the batteries? Well, that's relatively small stuff. At the more painful level, our families are dysfunctional, usually because we are dysfunctional, let's be honest. And that's certainly the story here. There are high moments on that list, heroes to celebrate. But the Babylon era of verse 12 onwards, that's a picture of exile, deliberately removed from the Holy Land as an act of God's just judgment. None of them worthy of his blessing or fit to lead, and none of us any better. See, the long wait sharpens again in that final paragraph, which tells us that we're actually waiting for a different kind of human being to come. Righteous enough to bring sinful humanity back to the God that we've all sidelined. Wouldn't that be good? To know his forgiveness? To know who he is out there? To be rerooted in the purposes that he made us in his very image for? And that's why sentence 16 is such a breath of fresh air at the end here. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Christ is not the family surname. It means Messiah, the saviour figure for the nations. And I think some of our carols that we sing, they really beautifully capture the sense of history in the making in that unassuming stable. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We're actually going to be tracking through this whole first bit of the Nativity in Matthew's Gospel at our carol services this year. And to be honest, it was very tempting for me to skip that list and head straight to sentence 18. Get me to the angels, get me to the wise men, and all of that. We will do on Sunday. But by the time we do get there, we should have a heightened sense from this of why this nativity is such a relief. The long wait is over. A baby of blessing for every nation, of leadership and peace. The shadow of God's judgment can be removed from your destiny in him. And I think one of the problems we have engaging with this is it's the problem of focusing on him as a baby. I mean, babies are cute, but you don't tend to judge great global leaders by what they looked like in a nappy, do you? I mean, Boris in his diapers and his big hair is probably not something you want to picture in your head right now. Small baby, yes. But a huge Christ is born. A huge Christ who has ambitions for you and me that are eternal, you know, way beyond our very limited hopes and dreams. The challenge I want to put to you is, will you give him a serious hearing this Christmas? First way to do that would be to read on in Matthew's Gospel. See if he lives up to the hype. Christmases that are hotly anticipated often quickly disappoint. Well, watch as you flick the pages and see the Son of Abraham give mighty tasters of what it's like to see disease reversed, even death removed, what it looks like to be selflessly led, to be reintroduced to your Maker. The stories behind the names in that genealogy, you know, they bear the fingerprints of the God you will meet if you do read on. There are miraculous births, even in this list, but also plenty of power shown in weakness, in unusual ways through unlikely people, which continues to be the Yahweh way. And more personally, this family tree is actually a mirror into ourselves, I think, because pushed behind the names listed and you will read about a catalogue of doubts, parents with favourites, adultery, prostitution, incest, idolatry, among other things. I mean, Netflix could get at least 10 seasons, 15, out of this royal drama. And so if you're here this evening and you're tempted to take pride in your religious pedigree, please remember, this is talking about the family of Abraham. It doesn't get more prestigious in the world of religions. And there's a lot here not to be proud of. Where I come from up in Scotland, there's a phrase people sometimes say, "I knew your father," which translated into English, "I knew your father," is basically, I can speak English when I need to, as you can hear. And it's what you say to someone who's, well, I guess they've kind of become so intoxicated with their education or their great career that they've forgotten that they were actually someone from humble beginnings themselves. And "I know your father" reminds them, you know, we know where you come from. We know who you really are. And if you think you're somebody ethically, religiously, well, the stories of Tamar, Uriah, remind us who we all really are in the human family. I'm afraid there's a sin problem in the genes that no subsequent generation has been able to grow out of. I hope you could be personally honest about that this evening. But I do not want you to despair, because Christmas is an invitation to any of us here this evening, to come and join a new family, to feast at Abraham's table, is how Jesus puts it later on. We're still waiting for him to come and take us there. Do you know, our queen, she personally hands out the presents to all the members of the royal household just before Christmas Day. It's a nice touch that she does that. But her Christmas table is privileged access. God not only invites you to his table as an honoured guest, he wants to actually write your name in to the royal family tree. Isn't that amazing? Maybe you're here tonight and you're disappointed, feeling guilty, you've messed up, you feel like an outsider, perhaps you're full of doubts. This apparently dull old genealogy says, welcome to the family. Come and be forgiven. Come and be led. Come and be blessed. If only you will pin your hopes on the great hero of the family who we've all been waiting for. Will you give him a serious hearing this Christmas? Take steps towards Jesus? Ask him to be your Messiah, is what that would ultimately mean. Join the family. You know, it would make this Christmas an eternally memorable one for you if you did that. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ.